Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We don't want to be just trying to do the same thing over and over and over again, not getting the results we want, and not taking time to evaluate how we're doing, what we're believing. Are we getting the results that we're looking for? And part of that is, of course, are the results that we're looking for consistent with God's purposes for us? We're not into focusing on meeting other people's needs. And by that, when we allow others to set the agenda, when we allow others, regardless of how well-meaning or authoritative or experienced or prevalent their approach is, when we allow others to define our relationship with God, we are basically kicking him off the throne of our lives. When we let others say that to please God you have to do this, that, and the other thing, we are agreeing with them that he can't speak for himself. We've talked so many times about how God is a real person. He is not just a heaven-bound creature that looks down on us to see how we're doing and then perhaps hear and answer our prayers that ascend before him in a appropriate manner. We're not just on some giant chessboard where he is playing the devil on earth to see who wins. But he is real and he can speak for himself. And he gets to decide how we're doing. He gets to decide how to make himself known to us. And when we rely on others to define that, we are denying God his rights in our life. When we talk about God being a jealous God, that's sort of where it starts. That it's like someone's moving in on his date. He has plans for you. He wants to talk to you. And in a sense, every time he makes an arrangement to have a nice little date with you, with all of us, we bring along a friend or our pastor or our relatives, or our troubles. And he just wants to be alone with us and talk to us. and get to know us and let us get to know him. So part of our learning to recognize these red flags is that we are learning to be sensitive to what God is saying to us about himself and about us. Going along with that dating theme, when you really think about it, it's a time of getting to know someone. And learning and maintaining relationship, history, future goals, being able to learn how to be yourself with that other person. And yet, as Christians, so much of us are relying on what others are saying, what others are doing about God, what others have written about God. And yet then when we die, or however, whatever your beliefs are, we expect to enter into a marriage relationship, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Whereas the church were then united with him. But we're spending so little time on his terms that we'd basically be starting from scratch. And in a sense, that's true for what we can be learning now. Those processes, the way he relates to us, the way he makes himself known, and his expectations of us in return, these are all things that if we don't learn now, if we don't learn who we are and who he is now, we'll just have to learn it later. This is not a qualification for relationship. It's a culmination of relationship. And it's not so we can please him or receive his blessings. No, it's because he loves us and we're in relationship and we are blessed and we do please him. So, as we go forward in talking about these red flags, you're never going to be able to memorize all the things to look out for. Just as our vulnerabilities to our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, you'll never be able to combat them or prevent an attack based on your own understanding, wisdom, knowledge, perception. But we are not ignorant of the attacks of our enemies. We choose, though, to be ignorant in our soul. In your spirit, remember, you see every attack coming a mile away, miles away, days away, eternal away. But in your soul, we all choose ignorance. Ignorance is bliss. What we don't know won't hurt us. And so we don't see how badly we're hurt by ignorance. And I guess there is just such a safety in numbers that as long as I'm with all these other people following along, doing what they're doing. And they all love God. That's not a question. That's not an issue. Of course they love God and are loved by Him. But just because everyone else is doing it. You know, growing up, I'm sure you heard, well, if everybody else drove off a cliff, would you do it? Well, for many of us, yeah, we would. Because that's how strong our identity is tied into those we hang out with, that peer pressure. And this is one of the weapons of the world system, is peer pressure. Our need to fit in, our desire to fit in, our safety net in fitting in. So much of that is a reflection that we don't know who we are or how to be who we are. And some of that goes back to even temperament. Some of us care greatly what other people think of us, and some people don't care at all what other people think. But there's still such an effort to develop a relationship with God. It's work. It's not easy. It's simple. It's clear, depending on Him. But it's not easy. The world, the flesh, and the devil have had thousands of years to develop strategies to keep you from knowing God. Now, God's grand strategy undoes all of that because He made you a spirit being. You're automatically already a winner, an overcomer over every strategy. But in your soul, it has yet to be worked out. It's like if you were raised thinking you were a pauper, a poor person. And one day, someone comes to you and says, we've just determined that you're an heir to the richest man in the world. So much would have to be changed. And your greatest vulnerability would be to the manipulation of those who already know how to use the power. So then your greatest challenge would be to learn how to use the power yourself. How to use the knowledge, how to use your wealth, how to use your position so that you would not be vulnerable to others who have their own interests. And not only those that have their own interests, but recognizing that as an heir, it is your responsibility to carry out the wishes of your father. In our case, our father hasn't died and left it all to us. We inherit while we're still alive. We are a joint heir with our big brother. Again, not a lesser heir, a co-inheritor, not a lesser inheritor. Everything that he has inherited, we have also inherited with him. This is not for the sweet by and by, this is for right now. And when others are telling us that our only way to communicate with God is according to our own understanding, our own strength, our own methods of communication, we've limited our relationship to our own understanding. which is why Jesus so often says, come to me. You know, knock, keep on knocking. Seek till you find. And what we're pushing through is our own beliefs. As a joint heir, you are an overcomer. And so God's big job is to increase our awareness of when we are being attacked, when we are being interfered with, when His plans and purposes in our life. Now, part of the issue is that God deals with us individually most of the time. It's not corporate. It's individually. He speaks to us about what is most important to Him in our lives. And when we remind ourselves that in the Spirit, you've also already agreed with Him. You've already agreed with Him that whatever it is He wants to deal with you about, that's the thing that needs to be worked on now. Because one of the things, one of the challenges, one of the red flags we want to look at is when there's pressure to deal with something in your life or in your belief system, just because that's what everybody else is dealing with. Or just because your leader wants to deal with it. So last week we talked about the recognizing pressure, being motivated by fear or pressure of any kind. We talked about, you know, the vacuum cleaner salesman. A lot of times that's what Christians are, is we're selling something. And a lot of ministers are in the ministry because they have a strong personality or persuasive. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's no substitute for a relationship with God. So when someone is trying to persuade you to believe what they believe or do what they want you to do, recognize that as a red flag. Go to God and say, God, is this what you want to talk to me about now? Our time here on this earth is something we are learning to regain authority over. And part of that is to not let others waste it. You are responsible for how you spend your time. And letting someone else steal that time from you . That's an area you need to learn to take authority. So another place to look for red flags is when someone is speaking for God on His behalf. Delivering His message. I'm sure you get many emails. I know I do. From people who believe they have a word for the church. You know, God has said this, and if we all have to pay attention and pass this around to everybody. And generally speaking, I get about the first or second sentence and just, you know, this is not at all from Him. And I don't even waste my time reading the rest of it unless the Lord, you know, bring something out of it for me to follow through on. So I'm not going to be impressed by how long something is or how emphatic the verbiage is or how dire the predictions. Or the source. You know, to have a word or a prophecy or a concern confirmed by others and passing it along has no strength. It's still just rumor. And just because there's no one out there, God is not denying it. We think he's approving it. And how many that believe they are speaking for God then take on a false authority to watch over their word, their prophecy, their teaching. And generally speaking, there are two camps out there. One that speak nothing but blessings and healing and prosperity and you know, the best is, this is the beginning of the best time of our lives. And it's always the beginning. That's always, you know, strikes me that, you know, this is a new time. This is the start of a new time. Rarely do we hear, yeah, this is the middle of what God is doing. It's always he's starting something new. But then when someone believes they have heard from God and are trying to disseminate that, they use that as the authority. And if you question them or rebuke them, you are questioning and rebuking God. And again, unless the Lord says, you know, say something, this is just not something I'm going to spend much time on. Now, if there's a clear error that I can address in about, you know, a couple minutes, I'll do that just to be considerate. Point out where something just isn't true or question something, hopefully to give an opportunity to a reflection back of what they're sending out. Because some people just don't understand how their messages are coming across, how their imagery and visions are just coming up, coming through totally different than what they were meant. But that's about it. They, you know, that's the second thought is they get. Because they have no authority. They have no impact. And this is where so many people use terms to cover their lacking that. They use the anointing, and they use the presence of God, or they use the authority of the what they consider to be the authority of scriptures or what somebody else is teaching. And it's to get you to act or believe a certain way, to get things stirred up. And it's up to us, each one of us, to gently just turn back to whatever it is that God has you focused on. It's like someone knocking at the door. That's vacuum cleaner salesman knocking at the door. You can, you know, open the door, remind them that in your neighborhood, solicitation is not allowed. Please go away. And then shut the door and go back to what you were doing. You're not obligated at all to let the person in. It's not discourteous. We have no problem saying no thanks to people selling things that most of us at the front door. They've come to us at a time of their pleasing, of their desire, And we are not obligated to accommodate that in any way, shape, or form. I'll bet if you're truly interested in a vacuum cleaner, you can make an appointment and they'll come back. But they're just trying to get you on their terms and sell you their goods on their terms. So for those in the church, those who believe they are speaking for God, that they have heard from Him, and that because they have heard something from Him, they now have to take that responsibility and make sure others hear it, understand it, and abide by it. Now, sometimes this even takes them to positions of, or not necessarily having heard from God, but their position in a church, or their education, or their leadership role in a group. In other words, there's a position to their authority. And if you question what they're teaching, or how you're going to go about doing something, you may even get, as a response, different kinds, different forms of typical responses from someone who is teaching not to teach you, but because they believe their job is to convey to you what they have heard for themselves, for you. It's not about how you respond or how you receive or whether it's appropriate for you. It's they're self-focused. And they believe that that authority, from whatever source, overrides any timely message, any sensitivity to God. Because if they're in that position, that must be from God. And therefore, they're God's men of the hour. And are not to be questioned. So, well, for instance, one extreme of this is if you ask a question and your answer is, you know, why are we going to do a study on, you know, church history? And the response is, because I said so. Now, that's a pretty clear, it's hopefully going to send a clear red flag, a flapping. But a lot of different varieties of that are out there. And we're not going to be able to discover every circumstance, every consequence, every nuance. But we can have an increased awareness. And that's what we want to learn to not stifle. Yeah, there's something wrong with that. You know, and we let it go. Don't let it go. Ask the Lord. Lord, something just doesn't set right with that. And He may say, yes, you're right. It's an attempt at manipulation. And then, Lord, what do I do with it? And He may say, nothing, I'll take care of it. You just keep doing what you're doing. Or He may say, you know, your time with this group is up. I need you to move on. Or just come away with me for a while. Or I'm going to be putting you in a position to confront this person about it. And we just say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to get ready for that? So we can't predict God's reaction, just as we can't predict the ways that manipulation can end up in our face. And we'll continue from there next Monday about basically speaking for God and authoritarianism. But until then, have a great week. We'll be getting back together tomorrow morning at 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.